Freedom will win. Russia will lose. And we really know the victory will change the world.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky there addressing the parliament in the UK where he is visiting today, including a meeting with King Charles, talking about Ukraine's efforts to fend off Russia in a war that has now been going on for just a few weeks short of a year. Let's get the latest on how things are transpiring from Roman Waschuk. He's Canada's former ambassador to Ukraine and currently the business ombudsman to Ukraine. He's in Krakow, Poland at the moment. Mr. Waschuk, great to have you with us this afternoon.
Lovely to be here, Vashi.
And nice to speak with you, as always. I wanted to start off on the visit, and I read with interest that the UK is now saying that they're open to sending fighter jets as well following this visit. How important is it for the president to do things like go to the U.S. a little while back or to the U.K. today, and do you think it helps in Ukraine's efforts to secure more weapons?
Well, President Zelensky is Ukraine's number one advocate. He's got the backstory. He's got the attitude. He's got the ability to deliver eloquent speeches, now also in very good English. And so he is there, but you know, Ukraine also is facing a turning point. Can it go back on the offensive at a time when Russia has mobilized, has brought in more troops, seems to have its factories working on cranking out some more tanks, that sort of thing. So, so his appeals for equipment are, you know, very timely and important for what happens over the next few months.
Besides what Russia is doing, there's also the added context of, and I hope you can help me understand it because I'm a little removed from it, but this sort of corruption controversy in Ukraine that has led to kind of leaks that Olaf Reznikov, the defense minister, is on his way out. And that is something, though, in the past few days that the president has denied as the case. He kind of, you know, lambashed people for operating in, or moving around in rumor. But it was interesting the way that it all came about. What is going on domestically right now in Ukraine?
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, people care about integrity. They care about the government spending money wisely. After all, Ukrainians are donating millions and billions of their own hryvnias to support the army, so they expect the government to be careful with resources as well. You know, there have been some procurement problems. Last year, one of the deputy ministers was removed, and I think subsequently a pile of money found in his sofa, which he claimed had been lent to him by an 86-year-old admirer from Kharkiv. Not a very likely story. more recently, what I find a slightly less plausible scandal story came out, which is about procurement, but easily understandable because it talked about the price of potatoes and the price of eggs. It was a framework contract that hadn't yet actually been actioned or implemented, but people who had it in for Mr. Reznikov certainly went to town on that. There were already senior members of the president's parliamentary party talking about successors to Mr. Reznikov, but I think both the president and possibly, and this is pure speculation, foreign partners who had found working with Mr. Reznikov very easy because he is, well-spoken, lawyerly kind of guy, able to argue things and build deals, key partners may have said, why would you want to change a guy we're successfully working with now?
Yeah, I think that's why when I initially read those leaks that it came as a bit of surprise. I understand there's a domestic context, but at the same time, I mean, you're in the middle of a war and your lead minister is your defense minister. And especially when it comes to the significance of securing weapons, right? Like that's every interview I've seen with him has been on that subject. Every meeting he's had with his counterpart here in Canada, of course, has been on that subject. I think the way that President Zelensky presented it was, you know, these kinds of rumors are adversarial or you know, not helpful in trying to present a united front. Do you think that's true?
I think when you're at war and when things get existential, you need to prioritize.
Right.
And if, you know, I think you can't expect a minister who's watching what's happening at the front and working with the general staff and then working on big international deals to be looking into the addendum of every last potato and egg contract, you know, to make sure that how it fits in with prices at the grocery store. So, you know, I think at this point, winning the war and getting weapons is important. But also, I think Minister Reznikov has now announced a sort of a reboot of his ministry's anti-corruption committees and apparatus. So I think there's a recognition, because Ukraine is highly dependent on the goodwill of its own citizens, that you've got to keep things, keep citizens' confidence in your management abilities.
I remember speaking to you in Krakow not too long after the war broke out, and yourself and others were raising, you know, questions about the West's commitment to providing military aid, and that is because lethal aid, really, because there had been some hesitancy right at the outset. Are you surprised
yep.
at the degree to which there does seem to be a commitment to provide that aid, and do you think that there will be more of it? And I'm speaking specifically of lethal aid, because the ask gets bigger, right? It's tanks, it's fighter jets. Like, do you think those asks will be met?
You know, I think what's happened is that a whole range of countries, and that includes the U.S., but it certainly also includes countries like Denmark, like Finland, like Sweden, have realized that if Ukraine should fall or have to settle for a very bad peace, then their own security becomes really, really tenuous. And so I think Denmark recently sent all 19 of its new mobile howitzers to Ukraine, realizing that if they don't stop the Russians there, then they're not going to do a whole lot, you know, in Denmark. So I think it's the realization that what happens in Ukraine does not stay in Ukraine. That this is not simply, as people describe it, the Ukraine war. It's actually Russia's war against the second largest country in Europe, second largest after Russia, and that this has huge systemic implications all over the place. I mean, it's even changed Japanese defense policy.
Right. I just have about a minute left. Even though we're not so proximate to Europe, do you have the sense that even Canada, that people in the United States share in that worry about the greater prospects for what happens if Ukraine is allowed to lose?
Yeah, I mean, Canada was involved in two Euro-Atlantic wars in the 20th century, and so just because of our political connections, our economic connections, our people-to-people connections, what happens in greater Europe is important to Canada, and it's certainly important to the U.S., and I think that's a point that President Biden reemphasized in his State of the Union address last night.
He certainly did. Okay, Mr. Waschuk, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much for sharing some of your time with us this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it. Roman Waschuk was Canada's ambassador to Ukraine.